Well, Sir Francis Bacon said, knowledge itself is power, and every parent wants to have as much information they can possibly get their hands on. When it comes to raising your kids right, if that's the case for you, you will definitely be glad that you tuned in today to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, and our host is best-selling author and psychologist Dr. James Dobson. And, Doctor, parenting has always been one of the hardest jobs in the world, but would it be fair to say that really raising young people in today's culture is harder than ever because of the darkness that's out there?
Lou Anne, I really do believe that, and I've had a lot of evidence to support it. The culture is at war with parents today.
Sure seems to be.
It just is in opposition, especially to those who hold to a Christian ethic. You just have a struggle all the time to defend the things that you believe and see that they're implemented at mm-hmm. home. And so you're right. I'm sort of glad my kids are grown. And you've almost got it done, don't you?
Getting there. One more heads off to college in a few weeks. But Doctor, here at the top, I do want to note that the conversation today will probably be geared more towards adults. So we want to warn these parents against those truly negative elements of culture. But that's exactly why we have this program planned for today.
Well, mom and dad have to stand there and do everything they can to keep a tidal wave from coming toward their family and just engulfing it. But to do that job properly, you have to have knowledge.
That's right.
You just made reference to Francis Bacon's comment about knowledge being power. Mm-hmm. Parents really do need knowledge today. And fortunately, there's been so much research and there's so much known about the medical needs of young people that we can provide a lot of help to them. Mm. And to give that assistance to parents and learn one more aspect of the culture having to do with sexuality and young girls, we have invited two experts, two authorities, to be with us today. And they've been here. Dr. Joe McElhaney is one of them, and he's been with us probably 25 times, wouldn't you say?
Aren't you tired of me?
If I was, I wouldn't be inviting you back.
But, it's a great privilege to be here.
All through the 80s and 90s mm-hmm. and the 2000s. You have come, and I deeply appreciate that. And also with us is Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. You all are friends to each other and friends of mine. And Dr. Bush, it's really good to have you here today.
And what an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Thank you.
And the two of you are OBGYNs. Joe, you were in private practice for 25, 30 years?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
In Austin, Texas.
And you left your practice to start the Medical Institute for Sexual Health. And that's still in operation and doing well, isn't it?
Yeah, it started back in 1992. It's hard to believe it's been that long. And you've been one of the great encouragements for our work, Dr. Dobson.
And you're associated with that institute now, Dr. Bush, and yet you're still in private practice and you're continuing to see patients, aren't you?
That is correct. I'm in private practice in Jackson, Mississippi with East Lakeland OBGYN Associates, but I consider it a privilege to work with the Medical Institute for Sexual Health in Austin and have been on their national advisory board probably for about 10 or 15 years on the board of directors and now have the honor of being the CEO.
Ah, well, the two of you together have written a book called Girls Uncovered, and the subtitle is New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women. And I tell you, I've been working my way through this book, and there is so much information here. And, you know, Lou Anne, we often say that what we're going to say in a particular day is vitally important, but some are more important than others. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this one, because of what's happening to a younger generation of boys and girls, but especially girls, is at the top of the list because there is just a tremendous wave of illness and mm-hmm. Problems associated with sexual behavior.
And it wouldn't be an overstatement to say some of that is life and death, would it?
We're going to hear that today. So parents really do need to understand it. Dr. Bush, I'm going to give you the first question and ask you about the book. The title is Girls Uncovered, and that's kind of an odd title to put on a book. I think it explains itself a little bit in the subtitle. But when you sat down to write this with Dr. McElhaney, what was the primary theme you were trying to get across, especially to parents? This is aimed at parents, isn't it?
Yes. The target of the book is parents because we feel like they're the primary caretakers of the young people, first educator, and the ones who will be there to care for them when and if complications or, you know, things occur that as a result of their, you know, sexual behavior.
Has it been your observation that many parents don't know the information in this book, that don't know they have an obligation to their girls, and Girls Uncovered is a message to them?
We wrote this book to arm and inform parents with information that they can use to help protect their young girls from the lies that our society has presented to them. One of the principal lies is that we have normalized sex for teens as long as they protect themselves, and that protection is basically defined as condoms and contraception. Forgetting that sex involves the total person. It's not just a physical act. It involves the head, the heart, and the spirit of the person as well. The culture makes it appear as though there are no risks associated, that it's all recreation and it's all enjoyment without understanding the value of it. The second thing I was going to tell you is that the girls' aspirations and dreams for themselves include completing high school, having educational aspirations that for many includes obtaining higher degrees, doctoral degrees. They want to be married. Study on the future of young people have shown that most of them acknowledge that they want to marry, stay married, and have children within marriage.
And expect to.
And expect to.
A huge percentage of them.
A large percentage.
90% of girls in high school expect to be married. Essentially, all of them expect to have the same husband the rest of their lives. It's phenomenal that almost all girls want marriage.
Hmm. Well, over 90% say it is important for them to have a good marriage and a family life. And only about 5% say that they do not want to be married at all. So you have over 80% of young ladies saying they want that. And yet we know that one of the ways to sabotage that is to get involved in sexual activity early, to have multiple partners, because you're not only putting yourself at risk physically for sexually transmitted infections or for out-of-wedlock pregnancy, but you're also becoming emotionally involved, and you're injuring or damaging your ability to sustain a long-term relationship when you're ready to begin one. Mm. Sex is not just a physical act. It involves the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and we are blindsided when we forget that.
Mm. Boy, Joe, hopes and dreams of young girls are being lost. The possibility of achieving what they really want, which is to be loved and be loved for a lifetime by one partner, that is undermined by what's happening in the culture today.
Yeah, it really is. The Medical Institute's been accumulating data and information about this specific thing for a long time. And, for example, as far as the desire to be married, which 90% of the girls in high school want, and actually about 90% of college girls want too, the data clearly shows that if they cohabit before they marry, they're more likely to divorce than when they do get married. Mm-hmm. So they're undermining their whole future by the cohabitation, and there are more girls at that age around 20 who are cohabiting than there are who are married. So the movement in our society is in a direction that would undermine those desires that are so important to young women. Mm-hmm. That's really why we named this book Girls Uncovered, because...
Well, describe that. What's the meaning of that title?
Well, Jim, what society's always done in the past has been to protect young women's sexuality, because it's so important to the tribe, for example, that their young women to be able to reproduce. Otherwise, the tribe would die out. And the same is certainly true for all of society. Western culture now is the first society that has abandoned that role of protecting the sexuality of their young women. And essentially, we are leaving girls uncovered, unprotected, naked, before the desires of guys, before their own inherent desires to be involved. So, like Frieda was talking about, we all desire to be hugged and loved and to have sex, even most of us. And yet that desire and the future good potential in our lives for that is being destroyed by the way it's been distorted by Western culture and modern society.
The level of immorality now compared with 20 years ago is what?
Well, it's compared to 20 years ago, it's dramatically changed. You can, for example, I'll give a couple of statistics, and Frieda may have some that just are still startling to me, but 70% of 18-year-olds have had oral sex. 50% of college kids have had oral sex in the past 30 days. About a quarter of college kids that have been involved sexually have had six or more sexual partners. I mean, you're right. It's really a sexual promiscuity. And they consider it to be a normal thing because society keeps telling them if they have the desire to be involved sexually, they're repressing themselves, they're naive, they're hurting their own psychology not to be involved in sexual activity.
And they're not being told about the disease and infections that come along with that. If you have six partners, like you just mentioned, mm-hmm. in the college years, mm-hmm. you have a sexually transmitted disease, don't you?
Yes.
The risk of you getting infected goes up with the number of partners and the earlier that you start having sexual behavior, because that also is going to increase your partners. But the latest statistics from the Center for Disease Control states that 50% of the STIs in the United States are in 15 to 19-year-olds. Now, what's interesting about that is 15 to 19-year-olds only make up 25% of the population. So there is a lot of sexual promiscuity, and a lot of it is involved with drugs and alcohol. The hooking up culture really is fueled by use of alcohol or drugs, because to feel that comfortable with relating sexually with somebody that you just met, it usually takes the alcohol to decrease your inhibitions, which are normally there.
Explain that hooking up a little bit more for the parent who really is a little clueless and hasn't heard that.
Well, the term hooking up means having a sexual relation with someone that you have no long-term relationship with. It's just a physical coming together.
You gave an illustration in your book of what often happens as a prelude to the hookup event. A young man or woman is going to college, they go off to a bar someplace, and they get half drunk, and their inhibitions are lowered, and then they go off to some private place and have sex. It kind of is a momentary thing, and they have no commitment to each other at all. Mm-hmm. And they walk away as though it was nothing more than a meal together. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, they feel very differently about it.
And I know that that fuels the sexually transmitted infections also, because you can't look at someone and tell that they have an STI. 50% of the STIs are asymptomatic. They don't know that they've got them either. So unless you get tested on a regular basis, including every time you change partners, you may have a disease, chlamydia, gonorrhea, HPV, HIV, the disease, the virus that causes AIDS, have no symptoms in so many of the cases. And I could go down the percentages, but the know that they are there, person may not be aware that they have it, and yet with one act of intercourse, you can transmit that disease to someone else.
And it's not necessarily eradicated by antibiotics and other prescriptions.
Bacterial infections such as gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis are eradicated by antibiotics. However, the complications that may have developed will still be there long term. For example, chlamydia and gonorrhea increase your risk for getting pelvic inflammatory disease, PID, which can cause infertility. Because you have no symptoms, you may have an infection for years, and even though antibiotics could get rid of it, you may continue to progress with it, and when you're ready to have a child, you may be infertile because you can't. However, the viral infections, such as your HPV, the body's immune system will get rid of a significant number of those after 2 or 3 years, but 10 to 15% will persist and often will lead to cervical cancer in women if it persists.
You're talking about HPV.
HPV, human papillomavirus, can lead to cervical cancer. Good news, your body's immune system gets rid of it most of the time within 2 to 3 years, but the persistence of it usually will cause long-term damage. We have no cure for it. Otherwise, just treat the effect. The herpes simplex virus is significant in that it often doesn't have symptoms, but it has recurrences on a sometimes monthly basis or whenever there's stress. We can treat you to reduce the symptoms, but there's no way to completely get rid of it. And then, of course, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, we have no cure for that either. But we, again, can treat it and reduce the symptoms that allow you to live. One point I want to add back on the HPV when I mentioned that is the fact that because we have a lot of oral, genital, and anal sex, the virus is transmitted by skin to skin. So wherever it enters the body, you can have an effect. There is an increase in head and neck cancers now that are positive for HPV.
And an increase in anal cancers.
And an increase in
and oral cancer as well.
That is correct.
I have read that sometimes men will develop throat cancers for behavior that took place 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly
and they're
right.
in their 40s now, and they develop cancer, and they didn't even know they carried the disease.
That's exactly
virus.
Right.
Head and neck cancers used to be attributable to just smoking or excessive alcohol, but now we have another cause.
So you're talking about these young people who are engaging in these risky behaviors, but the cancer may not show up for 10, 15, 20 years?
That's exactly right. Mm. Cervical cancer can not show up for years after a person's become infected from a sexual partner back in high school or college.
So the person that says, I see no ramifications of this now, what's the big deal, is just denying what's ahead of them.
Not aware of it because a significant number have no symptoms at all. Mm. But I did have a young lady in my practice that was 19 years old that was referred to me by an infectious disease physician because she was HIV positive. She had done a free screening at her local college and had a positive HIV test. In taking her sexual history, she had only had two partners in her lifetime. The first was her boyfriend in high school, who was HIV positive. The second was her husband, who was HIV negative. Mm. And you can best believe she wondered, if only I had waited.
Dr. McElhaney, one of your passions through the years, and you've expressed it on our program through the years, is that schools and educational facilities are not warning young people of what's at stake here and not educating them about it, implying that if they are mature enough to make this decision, it's right for them, and they don't know what's at stake.
That's right. Matter of fact, the thing that drove me out of practice to become involved full-time in this and leave my practice, which I loved, by the way. My practice was primarily infertility, working with couples who couldn't get pregnant. But when I started seeing how many of those infertile patients in my office had become infertile because of sexual involvement back in high school or college, mostly from chlamydia, it just really bothered me. And I started looking at our medical literature. We weren't having articles in our journals about prevention. Even though the American Society for Reproductive Medicine said that the most common reason for a woman to be infertile was sexually transmitted disease, we still weren't having research studies reported and done to prevent it. And I just felt it was so unfair that young women not be told that their sexual involvement back in high school or college could hurt them. And as a matter of fact, this was back in the 80s, almost all the sex ed programs were saying, just use condoms and you're fine. 98% prevention, if you use your condoms, you're okay, just like Frieda was saying earlier. And we knew that wasn't true. As a matter of fact, the Texas Department of Health criticized us for saying that, that condoms were not that effective. And yet the data since that time has proven that we were right and that the Texas Department of Health and other health departments were wrong about what they were saying.
Have they admitted that?
No.
They still don't tell the truth.
They still are not actively teaching how much condoms fail. They still are saying kids are going to have sex. The best we can do for them is give them condoms. And this is part of what we're saying about the fact that our society is not giving good guidance. It's leaving our girls susceptible to the diseases. It's leaving them susceptible to the emotional impact. And it's leaving them susceptible to damaged marriages later on because we're not really teaching them what the truth is about healthy sexual involvement, which is in marriage and really having only one partner for life as much as possible.
As you all remember, because it's just a few minutes ago, before we started this program, I prayed about this broadcast because I feel so strongly about it. And I worry about the parents whose kids are involved sexually and they're worried about it. The culture is taking them to hell. And they find it so difficult to do anything about it, or at least they fear they do. This book can help. And in my prayer, I said, Lord, frankly, the challenge of this interview, and I hope it will continue next time, is there is so much in here. How do we get this across to parents? I mean, the statistics that you have in here are shocking and alarming. And just in a conversation like this, it's almost impossible to – you almost want to reach through these microphones and grab people by the shirts and say, listen to us. This is critically important. The future, the hopes and dreams of your girls and boys, but especially girls because they pay the – biggest price for immorality and for the behavior that you're talking about here.
Doctor, we're really bringing a reality check to many parents right now, and I'm sure it's a little disheartening for some, and I'm hoping in the next program we invite these folks back, we can offer some hope and some ideas for what parents listening can do to turn that tide.
And one of the things I hope gets said next time, and I'm going to say it now, is that parents still are the primary influencers of their teens and their children's behavior, sexual and otherwise.
Absolutely. And we hit that again and again in this book as a great encouragement to parents, I think.
Well, we're out of time for this program, but let's just pick up right here next time. Dr. Bush, you spent all day getting here. You had a plane that kept you on the tarmac for an extra hour, and I'm so glad you're here, and we're going to work you to death.
I'm here to serve.
All right. We're going to have dinner tonight, and then we will pick up right here next time.
Great.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
We look forward to it.
And again, the book is called Girls Uncovered, New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women. And that is by our guest today, Dr. Joe McElhaney and and Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. We do have that available here at Family Talk, and I would encourage you to learn more about how to protect your child in this culture. You can find that at drjamesdobson.org or ask for it when you call the number 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for spending this time with us today. We hope it was helpful for your family. And do return again tomorrow for more with Dr. Bush and Dr. McElhaney right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Consider a time 30 years from now when husbands and wives who beget babies will be called breeders. Their procreation is an insult to the nation's social etiquette.
It's a bizarre thought, but one that could become reality if we continue on our present course. In Dr. James Dobson's brand new novel, Fatherless, he challenges us to confront today's culture before it's too late. Pick up your copy of Fatherless at drjamesdobson.org.